So how was that?
Good.
Yeah? Anything else? Any variations? Any, Lance?
Just a question about kinds of questions you can ask in everyday life that aren't like, hey, can you imagine for me right now an orange pumpkin with wheels on it? Just put things that, you know, are just kind of like casual questions you can ask to get a better understanding of where people are at.
Okay. Well, I just noticed you looked up into your right as you were explaining this. So
yes.
I, it's something I noticed you were constructing something visually. So you don't always have to ask questions necessarily. You can just listen and watch people. If you can give me a context of where you might want to use this.
Probably more on like business-y,
okay. All right. I just saw you look to your right ear. So you were hearing something. Were you hearing something in a business conference?
No, I was thinking of a context.
Thinking of a context?
Yeah.
So I do sales, and so I watch where people are moving their eyes, and if I see that they're repetitively moving their eyes, say, down to their right, I know they're constantly checking their feelings about what I'm saying. Okay. Now,
while listening.
What's that?
While they're listening.
While they're listening.
Mm-hmm.
A funny thing happens, too, when you start to notice these things, when you start to notice their eye access and cues, not only is it good for your sensory acuity, but it builds rapport, because on an unconscious level, they're noticing that you're noticing something about them. They don't know what it is, but they're noticing that you're looking a little bit closer, a little bit deeper. So just by noticing this, you will build some rapport on that alone. And so if you notice they're looking down into their right a lot, then you know that they're going to respond very well to kinesthetic predicates. How do you feel about what I'm saying? Check in with them and use a kinesthetic predicate. And when you see them like nod their head, there's going to be some agreement there. Or you'll something will cue you that they like what you're saying, that whatever it was, that kinesthetic predicate worked for them. And so if they're very auditory, there was a guy who came in to my office one time, and I hadn't seen him for a few years, and so the last time I had seen him was before my NLP training. This time he comes in, and he greets me he walks into my office, and he says, hello, Damon, how you doing? I just couldn't get over how resonant his voice was. And I didn't listen for that before. I'd never noticed it before. But after some NLP training, some sensory acuity training, his voice was so resonant. And I noticed, too, his shoulders were kind of back like this. And that's very typical of someone who's very auditory. They call it the saxophone posture. So his shoulders were back, and his voice was very resonant. And every time I asked him a question, he went like this, and he went like that. And so I'd say, does what I'm saying resonate with you? How does that sound? And he was like, oh, that's good. That's good. So it's things like that. That's how I use it. I would take different situations that you find yourself in business and think about that. Well, how could I use this in that situation, and how might this be useful? If for nothing else, rapport and better understanding and better communication. So if you're communicating in their channel, their favorite channel, in that context, that's the other thing too. People have a favorite representational system, and it's contextual a lot of times. They change from context to context. So just notice what they're using at that time, that channel, and then communicate to them in that channel, and it'll just go right in. Because that's what they're using. That's the one that they're referring to process what you're saying. You had a question?
I was just going to say, kids are lying when you're asking them.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to talk about that. So that is a very common misconception, that when you ask somebody a question, if they look up and to their right, that they're lying, or they look to their ear to their right, that they're lying. Like I was saying about the baseball, you don't know if or what they're constructing. And I have caught people in lying, but it's not necessarily by where they look, if they're constructing. So for instance, when I was having this meeting with other insurance agents, and insurance agents love to brag about, their numbers or what they were doing. So this guy comes and starts talking to me and tells me how much business he's done in the first month of the year. And I believe him. I don't think he's not telling me the truth. And I said, well, how much premium have you gotten for the year? His eyes went up and to the right, and he said 10,000. Now, I don't think he lied to me. I think the number was probably something like 987. And, so he rounded up is what he did. So he looked up and to the right and constructed it. It's not that he was lying. Technically speaking, he was not telling me the truth, but because he had to construct the number. He didn't remember exactly what it was. And you'll find that a lot when you ask somebody a number, they'll construct it because they don't know the exact number. They're just going to round.
Yeah, also a lot of it has to do with
way you ask the question. For instance,
absolutely.
When we did our exercise, I asked Tom what color his car was, and he went into visual construct. Mm-hmm. But it turns out that he doesn't have a car out here. He has a car that's back east that his parents have, but it's not out here. So he went through this whole thing about that, like, how do I answer the question? And so it had nothing to do with not with making it up. It just, he had to construct that to answer the question.
Yeah. While you were practicing, Tim asked me if I knew the mileage of my car. And I looked up and to my right, and he said, what did you see? And I said, I'm trying to find the mileage. And then I looked to my left, and then there it was. So I looked there to try to find it. It wasn't there. And I couldn't, and I who knows what the intent of that was. Maybe I was just trying to construct an image really quick so I could get an answer. But I noticed it wasn't there. So I had to go to my recall, and then that's where it was. Yeah. And again, it wasn't an exact number. So, you know, who knows where you put the numbers you round. They can be up and to the right, or they could be up and to the left. You could say the number to yourself instead. Maybe some people have feelings about numbers, I'm not sure, so they could look into their right, or they could hear someone else saying it. The auditory that comes from these is typically either someone else's voice or a sound. And then this is the self-talk.
During interview, like I have used it during interview, mm-hmm. you tell them people to remember the time from past and give me one experience, and if they look, is there a good assessment or not?
What do
like,
you?
Like you tell them, give me example from your past that you handled this behavior mm-hmm. in your past, and give me real life example. And I just did interview last week, and the mm-hmm. girl was looked up and left, so I knew that she really was looking, and she said, let me see, and then she kept looking,
yeah.
and of course she also was sounding in the interview very truthful, but is that if they look to the right, and are they constructing that?
Well, again, just because they're constructing doesn't mean they're lying about it. So she was interviewing someone for a job, I'm assuming? Okay, so she was interviewing someone for a job, and she asked the person about a past experience, and she did look up to her left. She's asking if she had looked up and to her right, you're wondering if maybe it wasn't true and she was making it up? Yeah, that does not mean that. When you really hone your sensory acuity, you'll start to notice incongruencies about where people are looking, but also their predicates, their tonality, their physiology, and you'll start to see those incongruencies more, and then you can detect deception better. But I would never go off just eye access and cues as deception, because being in an interview situation too. Here's the other thing I was going to mention as well. Left-handed people can be flipped. So I've heard numbers like 25% of left-handers. I've also heard 50% of left-handers. I don't really know. I don't even think it really matters, but just know that some people are flipped. So if you're asking questions, and these would be questions about recall rather than construct, and they keep looking to their left, you know, that's probably a good idea that, you know, they're flipped. You know, I'll give you an interesting situation. Oh, go ahead.
So it can be flipped, but not necessarily.
More than likely, this is what it's going to be.
Okay.
But left-handers. And that's another thing too. Notice that if they're using their left hand a lot, and their eye access and cues for what you would think are constructed go to their left and vice versa, it's a good chance they're flipped.
Also, I noticed that I have this problem. For example, if I construct something in English, I have to translate from my native language to English, mm-hmm. and then visualize it or present it in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So my eyes would be going crazy.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you can misinterpret me easily.
Yeah, so you wouldn't want to, if you were asking or if you were interviewing her, you wouldn't want to walk away from that and say, oh, she lied about everything. It just wouldn't be accurate. So, yeah, don't go solely off of eye access and cues.
So bilingual people are also messed up.
I did ask somebody about that one time. English was not her first language, and she would look a lot to the left. And it was an NLP training. So I asked her. I said, "Are you flipped around?" She knew what I was talking about when I said, "Are you flipped?" And she said, "No, actually, I'm really searching. I'm having to translate," and that's how she translated. So, my brother was having a lot of health problems, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with them, and they thought it was Lyme, and they were testing him for all sorts of things, and they couldn't come up with anything. And then he came to visit me. And I was watching it. Every time I asked him a question, I wasn't trying to do NLP on him, but every time I asked him a question, he only looked to the left. He only responded after looking to the left, whether it was up to his ear or down. And so I finally started asking him about that, like, well, you know, what's happening there? And he's like, you know, he's clueless. He has no NLP training. And then I said, well, you know, tell me a little bit about your health problems. What's happening there? And he said, well, it feels like my whole body is being contorted and pulled to the left. And so I was starting to get some leads here about what this might be about. And one of the other things that I noticed, and you're going to learn metaprograms a little bit later, but he always framed things in terms of the past. So his past was over here, and he was constantly referring to things to the left. So I started asking him about the future. What's he going to do in the next year? Or, you know, what is he thinking to do for a career or something like that? He couldn't do any of that. He couldn't make pictures of it. He couldn't make words of it. Nothing. Not even feelings. So I have a suspicion that his health problems were actually due to the fact that his focus was too much in the past, and that that was actually pulling his body that way. His images were over there. His voice was over there. And even when you saw him talk, he would kind of do like that. So in learning how to do this, there's a few ways that you can learn to do this to remember to do it. What I do, almost every NLP technique that I want to learn, I chunk it down, and then I put an ink mark on my hand. So if you ever see an ink mark on my hand, that's what that's about. And so I do look down a lot because I am very kinesthetic and I am very digital. And when I see that ink mark, then that's when I know to make sure that I'm sorting for this or I'm looking for this. And I would recommend chunking this down by one day just only looking at the visual. So you might not want to put an ink mark on your hand, but that's what's easy for me. And for the entire day, I'm just going to notice when people look up. I'm going to notice when they look up, and maybe I'll get I'll say, okay, that's remembered or that's constructed. Maybe I won't. If it's too much to do it all at once, I might not. Because you're engaged in a conversation, it kind of gets hard to look at these things. But the more you do this, the more it'll just naturally happen. You'll engage in the conversation with no problem, and you'll notice these things. And then the next day, just go with the auditory. Ink mark on your hand or whatever you'll do to remind yourself. As you're having the conversation, you'll start to notice their eyes going back and forth. Third day, notice when they go kinesthetic or auditory digital. And then the fourth day, put it all together and just notice where their eyes are going. And then anything you're struggling with, devote a whole day to focusing on that. Okay. And then Tim had a great suggestion. What I'm going to do is to wire this in for you. This diagram that says, look, see, hear, hear, feel, say. Can everybody read it? Okay.
Look, see, hear, hear, feel, say.
Okay. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to look in a certain direction, and then you say whatever the word is for what direction I'm looking in. Everybody's writing it down. So I'll give you a moment just to finish writing. I'm looking at them writing. Well, good job, though. You're following. Good way to follow directions. Okay, everybody ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Look. See.
Hear.
Say. Feel.
Gotcha. So if I'm looking straight up, just know that I am looking at a picture. You might not know if it's visual, constructed, or remembered. So. One sign of somebody who is typically visual and associated is they look straight ahead. So a visual person can easily make pictures right in front of their face. Okay, any questions about eye access and cues? Any more? Okay, so we're going to move on to strategies. And does everybody need a break right now, or can you go for about another 10 or 15 minutes? Another 10, 15 minutes? Break? Okay, let's go ahead and take a 10-minute break, and then we'll move on to strategies. Okay, so one of the things we'll be practicing also, we'll warm up with eye accessing cues tonight. And one of the things, too, that I forgot to mention that I think is a really good thing to do when you're practicing, especially, when you ask somebody a question and their eyes move to a particular direction, ask them what's happening on the inside. What are they seeing? What are they hearing? What are they feeling? And go ahead and, you know, find out what that is and, you know, if they're even aware of it, because a lot of times they're not aware of it. A lot of times people aren't aware that they're, you really are seeing pictures, hearing things, and feeling things all the time. Sometimes you're just not aware of it. So when you ask them, it suddenly brings it into their consciousness. Yeah.
So when somebody is thinking about what they're feeling and being kinesthetic, does that apply also to if they're thinking about what the other person's feeling? Like if I'm a person who walks in a room and consciously trying to figure out like the energy of other people, mm-hmm. and I'm reeling my feelings all the time, would that make me kinesthetic, or would that make, is it more about myself kind of thing?
It depends on how you're processing that information. So if you're processing that information, so like if you're sad and I'm feeling sad for you, well, that's a feeling. So that's, I'm going to process that kinesthetically. But if I see that you're sad and I'm just taking that information in as now I know he's sad, but I'm not having that sympathetic feeling, it's however I'm representing that. Am I hearing you cry? Is that what I'm hearing? Or am I seeing the image of you crying? It's how, you know, it's however I'm processing.
Right, lower, look on your right, to on the floor, for example, to help them connect with feelings and then express themselves.
Absolutely, and we'll cover a bit of that with synesthesias. And another thing to do also, to help you learn something, to help you memorize something, and I do this, I will put it in my visual construct. So say there's something, if it's a physical thing that I want to be able to do, because I do a lot of yoga, I might make a picture up here or even a movie in my visual construct of what that is. And then I might want to move it here as if I can already do it and I'm looking at a memory of me having done it already. And then I would hear more like what somebody, or I might go here and construct what somebody might say if they saw me doing this, or what sounds go with that. The type of yoga I do has a lot of controlled breathing, so I hear my own breathing a lot. So I would hear my own breathing, or maybe I would hear somebody say something. And then I go here as if I've already heard it. What would I already hear about it? And then how would I feel about this? And then what would I say to myself? And so this can help future pace something, but it can also help you learn something. And sometimes I will do that with words. I've done that with the meta model. I'll put the meta model up in front of me, make pictures of it. What would it sound like if somebody was explaining it to me? What if I was explaining it to myself? And then how would I feel about it? How would I represent that as a feeling? And moving your eyes in each place. And I've done that with people when I'm coaching. If they can't access a feeling, I'll say, well, look down into your right. And a lot of times, just doing that, they have it. Or they can't access the words, and I'll tell them, look down into your left. You can also practice this watching YouTube. And I highly recommend watching politicians. They're really fun to watch when they're asked questions. A lot of times, they'll look in different ways, but they'll go down into their left before they answer. And Bill Clinton especially does this a lot. He is constantly looking down into his left, and then he looks up and makes eye contact and down into his left. So what is he doing? He's saying it to himself first to make sure that it sounds okay before he says it to everyone. And you'll see politicians do that a lot. And it was funny too, because I was working with a guy one time, and it was not an NLP context, but it was like a sales training, and he was very digital. And people who are very digital, they tend to be very precise. And he was also running for a political office locally. And when I was talking to him and I would ask him questions, he was constantly looking down into his left. So I wanted to backtrack this and use his own words. And when I backtracked it and I said almost exactly what he said, he would say, no, 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 it's not like that at all. And then I'd say, okay, well, what is it like? And then he would go down into his left and he would talk and down to his left. So I decided to get a little more precise. And then I would say, so you mean it's like this, this, and this? And he's like, no, 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 no. And he goes back down, and he's going back and forth. And then finally, I was like, I'm going to just say every single word that he says right back to him and see what happens. And I did exactly that. And what did he do? No, 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 it's not like that. It's like, so what do you think was happening there?
BS-er.
What's that? A BS-er? No. So not only did he have to hear it in his own words, he had to hear it in his own voice. Otherwise, it just wasn't precise enough for him. So hearing it in my voice wasn't enough. So he's constantly doing that. Yeah. So there was no way I was going to... So, you know, at that point, you try something else for rapport. Backtracking is not going to work. So, okay. Any more questions about eye accessing before we move on? No? Okay.